Hello and welcome to KQED's Capital Notes, our weekly podcast looking at all things California politics for the week. I'm John Myers from KQED Public Radio, and as always, thanks for tuning in. My good friend Anthony York, the editor of Capital Weekly, who's the normal cut-up guy here on this podcast, is missing in action for this one. So a different kind of podcast for today, but wanted to make sure that we talked a little bit about what had been going on in political news for the week that has just ended here as August begins. And really, the dominant story played out at the end of the week, which was this notion that we might have state workers all of a sudden not having the pay that they have become accustomed to. The governor made good on the much-talked-about pledge for several days to sign an executive order. He did it on Thursday, and it would, if fully enacted, reduce most state worker pay to minimum wage. It also called for laying off temporary and part-time and seasonal workers, or I should say temporary and seasonal workers, and a few other small categories of state employees who are not full-time normal state employees. And it also called for a hiring freeze for all state agencies. Now, some of this is still settling out a little bit exactly how it's going to work. Most notably, the governor's folks admit right off the top that some of the state workers will be exempted from having their pay cut down to minimum wage because they are in critical services kinds of conditions. However, it's debatable whether that portion of the executive order will be enacted because State Controller John Chung, who we know is independently elected by the voters, has said he's not going to enforce it. He's not going to do it. He's not going to cut those paychecks down. And really, you have until the end of the month anyway, because state workers typically get paid once a month. So we're looking at a pay period that would be at the end of August. But most of this played out on Thursday. And so what follows here is a little bit of the governor's announcement and a little bit of the Q&A with the Capitol Press Corps about how it was going to work and the showdown with John Chung, and a little bit about the budget negotiations, which we know the state budget is now a month overdue. Talks are continuing. There was chatter back and forth that we might be getting closer to a deal this week, though I think most people kind of know where the real tough points lie, and we can talk about those in a moment. But we don't have a deal yet, and no one's certainly making predictions about when we will have a deal. So here's Governor Schwarzenegger from his press conference on Thursday announcing the executive order to try and save the state cash by clipping back the pay of state workers, and a little of the Q&A with reporters in the room.
I think the most important thing for everyone here is to avoid a cash crisis, that we can't make our payments. So I think this is what this is all about, and it is a terrible situation to be in. It's, I don't think any governor wants to be in this situation because, of course, state employees are working very hard. They are the ones that are making our state run, and they're doing a great job. And but this is really the only way out at this point, because we are coming to the end when we have when it comes to cash. And so this is why this is a very important step to take. Yes, please.
Do you think that your action today will force the legislature to added pressure to come up with a budget solution faster?
This is not meant to do that. This is it's very important that the legislators are working very hard, and like I said, that I would do everything in my power. We have continuous meetings. We have meetings every day with the legislative leaders and with other legislators, as far as that goes, in order to get the job done. It's just it's very important for you to all to understand that the reason why I've been stressing throughout the whole spring, the whole year actually, that they should start talking about this is because our whole schedule is somehow off. Because why is it that for the last 20 years we've only had four budgets on time? It's not that for 20 years that people are not really functioning well here, or they are not capable, or they're bad people or anything like this. It's just that when you propose your budget in January, on January 10th, no one does anything except go out and complain about it and do all that because you never can make everyone happy. But then they wait until April, until the receipts come in, when the people pay their taxes. And then they wait until May revise. Then a May revise comes, I put out my May revise, and that's May 14th. Then, of course, they have to analyze that May revise, and they have to digest it. So they have endless amount of conversations about this and meetings and hearings and all of those things. But now they have to have that time, which takes usually a month. But that time is the constitutional deadline, and we haven't yet negotiated. And now when you have a very complicated year like this, like I said, where you have a budget problem and a dysfunctional budget system, and on top of that, a declining economy, and you're talking about reforming the budget system, where you talk about the rainy day fund, and where you talk about mid-year cuts and all of those kind of things, I said always there are a lot of moving parts. And this is very complicated. And it takes a long time to negotiate those things. You can't do that just in a week. So you have a choice. Do you want to do, like, get out of town budget? Or do you want to really solve the problems? Well, I insist that this time we solve the problems. And that's why I said I would not sign a budget that does not have serious budget reform in there as part of it. Yeah, please.
You talk about the state's cash crunch, but what about the cash crunch that hundreds and thousands of state workers will be experiencing, their families?
We feel, of course, bad that they have to go through hardship. And this is why it is very important for them to know. And I think Dave Gilb will talk a little bit about that afterwards. It's very important for them to know that we will do everything in our power so that they can get loans, because as soon as we have a budget, they will be reimbursed the salaries. This has been done in the past. As you know, that every time we're late with the budget, there is about the legislators and the legislative staff. There's 1,000 people here that don't get paid every year. That's the case. And they go and get loans. So, you know, but it is difficult. It is difficult. But we want to make sure that they have money and that no one is out on the streets. Yes, please.
Issue, because you've said you need to do this because we could be running out of cash, but the controller's office has said that the amount of money we could be short is $10 billion. The most you could get out of this is $1 billion. In other words, he's insinuating that this is more a political symbolic move than really solving the problem.
I think that, again, Mike Jeunesse can get into that, but I can tell you that it is a very important step. It is my responsibility to make sure that the state keeps running and that we keep paying our bills. And, you know, there's different opinions about all of that. I totally understand that. And I respect those opinions. But the fact is that we are running out of cash, and this is an action that we have to take. Yes, please.
The controller says it's logistically impossible to retool the state's payroll system and that he will not do it. Would you go to court to force him to do that?
If that's what it takes, look, I'm here to make sure that our state functions. And whatever it takes, I will do. And I think that the court has made a decision on that 4 years ago, that they have to follow through of what our finance director is working out with them. I'm not ordering him to do anything. It's the finance director, Mike, he can talk about that he is working with him to make sure that we have enough cash.
And that, again, was Governor Schwarzenegger at his press conference on Thursday announcing his executive order to roll back or to freeze. What is the best term here? To not give state workers their full pay, only give them minimum wage starting with the pay period that begins in August, to lay off some temporary and seasonal workers, and to hire a state freeze on hiring. It clearly sounded like if, in fact, the governor was somehow bluffing on some of this about actually doing it, he certainly didn't sound like that. He said quite clearly that if he had to take Controller Chung to court, he would. He would do whatever he had to do to help secure the state's finances. And you also heard a little bit from the governor acknowledging that it's not a great option and that he's not happy about it, but that the state budget process has not played itself out completely. And you heard him also, you know, sounding a theme that he has a lot in recent days and weeks, a bit of grumbling that we're still having a budget debate and that we don't have a budget in place, and that the process just doesn't seem to work the right way. There was one other thing the governor did talk about, and I want to play this part now. And it's hard to know whether this will be part of a budget deal or not, but the governor was asked about the economy and maybe the impact on the economy of all these changes to the pay of state employees, and he talked about something that could be in a budget deal.
When it comes to stimulating the economy, we hopefully have part of our budget a stimulus package that will stimulate the economy, because there's a lot of things that the state is already doing. They're pushing out billions of dollars in infrastructure bond money so that we can rebuild California and put people to work, and also to help people that have problems in making the payments with the houses. We're working on that. There's great legislation that we've already signed, and then the federal government, there's great things that are happening. So we're all working on that. But it's very important. I think you touched on a very important point, which is economic stimulation. That's what we have to work for.
So as you heard, the governor laid on the table this notion of an economic stimulus package that could be part of a budget deal. And there has been discussion. I've heard that in capital circles before. I also asked Mike Belines, who's the leader of the Assembly Republicans, about it after the governor's press conference. Here's what he had to say.
Are you discussing some kind of package that would help the economy, tax credits, something like that?
We are. We've got an incentive package that's an economic incentive package. We also have business reforms that have been very important to us. We believe things like the meal and rest is important, obviously, which the courts have decided and looks like they've decided the right way. We believe there's a lot of things that we can do to incentivize the economy, to incentivize businesses, at the same time to minimize working people's pain. And that's what we want to do. I think today was reflective of, we don't want to see people be in this position.
But if you do some of that, doesn't that exacerbate the budget problem next year? You put more tax credits on the table for business, for example, then you got a bigger problem next year.
I think we would be looking at something that probably is more of an out-year discussion. If we negotiated an incentive package, it would be a combination of looking at potential loopholes now with the incentive package kicking in later when the economy is better. I mean, I think it's part of a compromise. And again, this budget will have to be a compromise.
So it's hard to know what an economic stimulus package exactly would be. Mike Valines there, the Assembly Republican leader, talking about tax loopholes and things. But the reality is you cannot solve this problem on the theory of loopholes or tax credits alone. And you have to wonder if an economic stimulus package includes things like tax incentives for businesses or things like that. Doesn't that exacerbate the problem? And you heard Valines say when I asked him that, you know, well, we're talking, you know, we would be talking about things that are in the out years. Well, the out years means years down the road, and whether he's talking about incentives in the out years or things that would cost money in the out years, either way, you do get back to this debate that happens a lot here lately around the state capitol about the structural deficit, the year after year after year imbalance between revenues and expenditures. Quickly, I also want to play a little bit of a phone interview I did with State Controller John Chung about the issue of the executive order that the governor has put forward, that he put forward on Thursday. Full disclosure, I talked to Controller Chung before the order was issued, and you'll hear him say something to the effect of the order we're expecting or something like that. So, yes, full disclosure, I talked to him in advance. But he's been fairly consistent the whole way through about what he was going to do once the order was issued and how he was going to react. And here's a little bit of the controller's thoughts on those issues.
The question I think the governor needs to think about is, if he believes that the Fair Labor Standards Act is in place, how can he treat different state employees differently, right? Because under his executive order or potential executive order, some individuals be subject to the minimum wage provisions and others are not, right? So the question is, does the law apply or does the law not apply?
It would be fair to say that you think this is more political than it is policy and legal here?
Well, I gave the governor the benefit of the doubt last week when he articulated cash concerns. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that he is concerned about cash management for the state of California. Now, having articulated that we have sufficient funds through the month of September to pay all state obligations, I think if there are other issues, he needs to elevate those other issues so that it's clear what is, you know, at the core of the discussion so that we can resolve those.
If the governor is using this $1 billion a month that he could save by reducing it down to minimum wage, that again, that still isn't enough money that the state's going to need for operating costs come the end of September anyway, right? In other words, I mean, it doesn't solve the problem versus a RAW or something else.
That's correct. We'd still have to go out for the borrowing. And, right, if the governor says he's trying to save us money and he's concerned about cash flow concerns, are you now telling us if you pay state employees minimum wage not to go out for the cash borrowing? I think their answer would be no, because they have to be prudent. So I'm not sure what paying public servants minimum wage will do.
Just one more thing on this quickly, which is that it's also been suggested to me that it would be that they're just it's practically very challenging to so quickly change the way you send out checks, right?
Not only us, it's how all the state agencies that employ these individuals are going to report payroll to us. Right at this point in time, it's not clear who's subjected to the order, right? The order's not out officially. You know, what their hours are, have any of them been working overtime? Are we going to use state personnel for payroll work when they haven't been doing it previously? Can they do it correctly and then send it over to us where we have a computer system not designed for that?
And I've also wondered, too, about the notion that it says, you know, certain positions would be exempt, safety or critical needs or something. That could exempt all kinds of people, maybe highway patrol, prison guards.
Right, and then I think that leads to an argument that would have the governor's approach lose in court. Because once again, he says all state employees are subject to the minimum wage under the Fair Labor Standards Act, yet the governor is saying we're not going to pay these people minimum wage, we're going to pay them more than minimum wage. So the answer is, does the law apply or does the law not apply?
And I think it's worth noting State Controller John Chung there talking about issues related to the governor's executive order. It is worth noting that Chung has been a fairly low-profile state controller so far. He was elected in 2006, and as I wrote in a blog posting on Thursday, unlike some other people who have been state controller of California, he does not seem to be seeking publicity very often. He's not in the spotlight a lot. And I think with some controllers in the past, people could certainly wonder, did they have other motives? You know, a little bit of grandstanding, a little bit of attention with the press and the cameras and the microphones. John Chung does not come across that way. And so this does seem to be a very pointed debate that he and Arnold Schwarzenegger are going to have about the limits of the governor's powers and the way that state government works and it pays its employees. So that's a big part of the budget impasse as this week ended. And I think we'll end this podcast there for this week. Next week, we'll come back and we'll dish and talk about all the things that happen. We'll talk about who's up and who's down. We might look at campaign finance reports, which came in here at the end of this week, maybe talk about who's been raising money and all those sorts of exciting things, in addition to the ongoing debate over a new state budget. So with that, I'm John Myers from KQED Public Radio. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.